start. We all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So everybody knows we're recording the meeting tonight as we do every night, and it'll be posted, so if you have any public comments or questions, it will be on the website. Typically, we have two sets of questions for tonight's agenda only, and then general questions, given that we have four people here. Was that what you were going to say before?
Exactly. I assume so. Exactly.
Given that we have four people here, we'll take any questions you've got in this first session, and then we'll close the question session. So does anybody have any questions? Yes. Can you step up to the microphone, please, so that you can hear?
Hi,
I don't think it's on.
No, it's on, Joanne.
Okay. I'm Joanne O'Brien. I have family here in Center of Riches, and I had a few concerns. The high school library, I understand when it rains, they have to cover all the books with plastic. What is going to be done about that? You know, would that cause a mold problem?
Sure.
You know, if you're, you know, getting anything into the library?
I'll address that right now. What we, in May, had a bond offering, and the community voted through a bond, and part of that bond was to replace the roof, and specifically that portion of the roof over the high school library to remedy that problem. Unfortunately, the time to do that, it takes some time to do that, to get through a state education department and plans, and so in this period of time, we're working it the best we can, and that's why you see things covered.
Okay. Second, about BOCES. Years ago, when I worked in the, you know, Babylon Township, BOCES, just about anybody could go, but I was told it's on a lottery. Now, you have kids that are not college material, so some of them should go into a field like shop or what have you, or baking, you know, name the whole gamut of things. And each year that goes by, now one of my grandsons is a senior, and, you know, I don't know which way he's going to go once he gets out of school.
Sure.
This is a big problem.
We absolutely agree. BOCES is a phenomenal program. It's not a lottery, I would say. We have a set specific type of criteria as to who is given first preference to BOCES and what types of programs are given preference. A number of years ago, 3-4 years ago, the number of students that were able to go to BOCES was reduced as part of normal, you know, tax cap issues, because sending each child to BOCES cost the district an additional sum of money. So as part of normal kind of cost cutting, that number was reduced. But what's the slot? Is it 17 or 11?
I think it's 15.
15. So currently there's a 15-student slot to go to BOCES. And do you know the criteria off the top of your head?
I know it begins with seniors, correct?
Yeah.
Seniors have first
seniors
priority.
Have first preference.
And then if it's a 2-year program, I believe that it probably would go to a student that would have a 2-year program before a 1-year.
So whenever we're looking to grow our program, you know, we're looking in a variety of ways. And one is increase the number of students based on interest and what we know is kind of coming up, and increase the number of students that have that opportunity.
Right. And thirdly, today some kid came around. I guess he had a soccer shirt on. And he had a card. He just held it up. Do you want to buy one? And I'm like, wow, that is a step back. And I believe to keep our kids safe, they should maybe have a first name tag or something and register with your local police department. That's what we do down in Tampa, Florida. And, you know, it's all about presentation. Hi, my name is Joe. I am with Center of Riches soccer team. Would you be interested in buying a discount ticket? Because I would like that kid to come back, you know, and I'll buy it. But I was, like, trying to shop.
Would that be a district?
I believe, I don't know if it was, that your son said he's going to buy one, right? So that's the good news.
Yes,
I do
yes.
believe it might be right now the football team and the soccer team. I don't know if they're going out there door-to-door, but I do know they are selling discount cards. They just came out within the last week.
The discounts for what? To be able
to go to McDonald's or other places, like 10% off, and you get the card.
Right.
So I don't know if it was them, per se, at your
Yeah, but I just feel that it's all about presentation. You know, I'm an old lady, so I'm suspicious of everything and everybody because, you know, people ring the doorbell and, hey, if you're not home, they're going to break in.
Right.
You
Can
know?
You address that?
Yeah,
I directly.
Yep, I will.
So I think maybe something like that might be addressed. It might be helpful. helpful to talk to the kids and, you know, and do the presentation in that manner.
Will do.
I thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Are any other questions tonight? So for those that got here late, we're taking questions both on the agenda and typically it's just the agenda at the beginning, but and the others because we only have a few people here. So does anybody have any other questions? Okay. Nobody? Great. So that brings us to our first portion of the agenda tonight, which is adopting the minutes of reorganization meeting July 1, 2015. Regular meeting of July 1, 2015, and special meeting of August 11, 2015. Motion?
Motion.
Second? All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the following name change.
Motion?
Motion.
Second? All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignations.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education rescinds its June 17, 2015 and July 1, 2015 actions as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2015-2016 school year as follows.
So I just have a question. Is this the same, do we have the same number of preferred subs in this group that we had last year?
We're still missing, I believe, well, no, right now, yes, this will make it that we have the same amount, correct?
Same amount right now, and then...
Yes. I think we've appointed every single one so far, the last ones that are on here now. We appointed some of you to the past meeting, okay. But yes, the total number.
Total number is the same.
Correct.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teacher and support staff vacancies for 2015-2016. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or superintendent. Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes. Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Item 10, merit pay. Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, Board of Education approves merit pay increases for the following individuals for the 2015-2016 school year.
So just that I'm clear, this is, we removed merit pay from the contract, the CMAA contract in the last negotiation of the contract. So this is the last
Correct.
Year based upon what was in last year. And these goals were set between you and
yes.
the administrators.
Correct.
And then what did you do? Did you come in and meet with?
What I do during that time is I met with them throughout the year. I met with each one of them four times. In the beginning of the year, they gave me their goals. Their goals this year, and I think the board would appreciate this, pretty much mirrored the Board of Education goals. So I wrote down just some notes for myself about their goals. There are five members of the unit that are there tonight, excluding Judy Ponticello because she's separate. Out of the five, three of them, one of their goals was about accomplishing the grant goals. All five of them had student achievement goals. All five of them had communication goals. Two of them had goals on technology and one of them on a budget. But what I've done with them is I meet them throughout the year. And we determine their progress to make sure they are progressing. I'm thankful to the CMAA to remove it for the future. Of course, financially, I don't think we're going to stop this, but I think financially, I appreciate what the CMAA is doing for the district.
So when you say you don't think you're going to stop it, there's still going to be goals set. You're still going to flow down the board goals, which are in your rubric, which get flowed down.
Exactly.
But as part of the normal job, those goals will be
pushed. Exactly.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Resolved that the Center Merchants Union Free School District hereby elects, pursuant to Subdivision 3A of Section 50 of the Workers' Compensation Law, to become a self-insurer to work workers' compensation claims against this municipality, and made it further resolved that, pursuant to Section 50, Subdivision 3A of said Workers' Compensation Law, notice of such election shall be filed forthwith with the chairman of the Workers' Compensation Board, self-insured section, and be it further resolved that this election shall become effective on July 1, 2015.
So, Carol, what does this mean? Does this mean that we have to segregate a specific portion of salaries for
No, what it means is back, I guess, in June, we had a resolution to accept the plan. We were changing to a new workers' comp company in order to save on our premiums. This resolution should have been included, and it somehow was left off the agenda. What it's basically saying is this new workers' comp company that we're joining, it's a self-insured group, similar to we belong to NYSER, which is a group of school districts, and we're a self-insured group. And that's all that this resolution is stating, that we're part of a self-insured group, and we have to, the company then has to register us with the workers' comp.
So to the extent that there's a workers' comp claim, because we're self-insured, we pay that claim from our budget?
No. We pay a premium. We're part of a big group, and we pay a premium per year.
Okay.
Self-insured where?
Not self-insured where it's coming
like,
out
say,
of our
dental,
budget.
Dental, we're self-insured, and we pay out each claim. No, we just pay a premium.
Got it. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as at the established costs contained in said contracts, and authorize the President to sign said contract.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, Board of Education approves the disposition of equipment.
What was this? I couldn't read it on the scan. What was it? It was like a part number, but I didn't know what it was.
Some kitchen device.
It seems to matter. Do you know what it was?
Do you want it?
I looked.
I think it's out there tonight. They're about to bring it out.
Oh, you mean do I want it for my home?
Well,
I don't know if that's appropriate.
Once it gets the curb. No, I don't know, Cal. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
Something from the kitchen?
Might be some type of...
I should have asked on Friday. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I could find that out. It could be. That's yours.
Yes.
Oh,
that's okay.
My guess.
You could ask Raina.
That's a good question. I do remember talking about
it.
Yeah, I'm thinking the high school kitchen, right? Because I knew there was stuff.
No.
Yeah,
it
is. You're right.
I could find
cooler.
Out from Tom.
Yeah, I might be the cooler.
Yeah.
So can we just put this off? Is there any rush to do this? You want to put this off and you'll find out? Or does it matter?
I guess it doesn't matter.
It's something broken. That Tom came to me about, and off the top of my head, I can't remember. But I'll ask.
So we vote was to table.
Yeah, motion to table this until the next meeting. Only a week and a half away.
That's true.
Motion.
Okay. Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Motion carried unanimously.
The Board of Education has appointed an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the months of June 2015 and July 2015 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of June 2015 and July 2015 as audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committees on Special Education and preschool special education for the months of February, March, April, May, and June for 2014-2015 school year and the 2015-2016 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the transportation request submitted by Family A.
Motion. Family A being sick. Okay. Do you want to do separately? Motion on Family A.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion on Family B.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion on Family C.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education conducts a second reading of the following policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yep.
Yes.
This motion carries unanimously. So before we get to the committees, I just want to tell the board for a brief second. We don't have, listed on here is not board representation on these committees. I don't know if we need to be placed on the committee itself, but I think that it's important that one of us not run the committee. I don't think that's necessarily the best idea, but certainly be on the committee to be able to convey kind of board thoughts or at least attend the meetings.
Mm-hmm. I'm on facilities.
Yeah, you're on there? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, I mean, just
curriculum instruction.
Curriculum, that'd be great. I'll do technology.
Good health and wellness.
Health and wellness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wendy wants to do legislative committee, she told me. So that leaves up emergency preparedness. Does that tie in with facilities? Do we need a separate committee for that? Do they meet?
No. I served on it last year, so I can speak to it a little bit. Mr. Caswell was the chairperson last year, and our only focus was emergency preparedness. So Officer Hughes came to all of our meetings as our SRO, Mr. Towson, and it was, I mean, it falls under facilities because we're talking about the facilities, but we spoke about emergency. We reviewed our emergency procedures, reported back on our drills, like our intruder drill, sheltering, fire drill, security.
Do we have, for those meetings, do we know, are we having somebody come in for what is doing best practices for those types of things, or is that our guy?
As our school resource officer.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's there listening, offering suggestions. Then he comes, we set the dates for our next drills. He comes and observes them and gives us feedback.
How often do you guys meet?
We met.
Jesse's on the phone.
Like, is it monthly?
Yeah, like once a month, maybe somewhere in that, around there.
What time?
I'm
going to say it's like afternoon, 3 o'clock.
3:30 in the high school conference room.
I'll do that one.
Which one was that? Down there?
So, for the rest of these, we'll maintain the committees. Do we think that there should be any additional committees based on emergency preparedness?
I have you on one.
I said I do have the one. I was on a lot of them last year.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm writing it down because we have to put this.
Do we as a board believe there should be any additional committees? Yeah, recommended action upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approved the creation of the following committees for 2015-2016 academic year. It's curriculum instruction, emergency preparedness, facility advisory, health and wellness, legislative, and technology.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor? Motion carries. Unanimous.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following individuals for the various 2015-2016
committees. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Great. That brings us to our general discussion section for tonight. Items on the general discussion. The agenda for general discussion are BOE goals, high school graduation, middle school 10th period, wellness dress code and cell phone, and the superintendent's performance evaluation. So we'll start with BOE goals, and I've circulated to the board, everybody should have a copy, what is essentially the updated goals document. I also sent an email, putting that on August 7th, with kind of
my thoughts as to the changes. This document represents those changes. Rob and I had a chance to sit down with Raina and Ricardo to kind of talk about the growth goals, and I'll walk through what's there, although it is in the email. I'll walk through so that everybody kind of hears. I would say the changes from this year in what we've kind of heard, in talking to the teachers, we went to CMTA and asked the unit president for his thoughts on how we could better our goals. We tried to incorporate a lot of those topics into these goals, and the general tenor that we heard from him was, you know, increased programs, increased field trips, better communication, things like that. And we did try to work that in. And I'll talk when we get to scores a bit more. On the budget, wasn't very hard, because the way we structured it last year was to show a five-year goal for budget increase and a five-year goal for tax levy increase. The nature of a five-year goal is it shouldn't fluctuate very much, and we've stuck with that. Given the significant help that we had from TRS and ERS last year, we allowed, which caused the budget not to increase very much.
The budget was actually negative.
Yeah. So what we did was, it said that last year we had a 1.5% budget increase was our target. This year we bumped it to 2 in conversation that I had with Carol, because you start from a lower base, you don't get that help. You may have some,
go ahead.
You may have some issues. So that was the thinking there. And the same thing on the tax levy. We're negotiating right now with three unions, two for contract extensions, their contracts expired, and one with regard to agreements, which I spoke about previously. So while last year the cap that the board imposed was 1.5%, this year we raised it to 2%, but we included a caveat which effectively said if it's higher than 1.5%, that additional 0.5% be used to grow the program. So let's go to 1.5%. If we have to, because of the increased costs. But if we're going to go to 2, if the tax cap is at or above 2 and we decide we're going to go to 2, we said it should be specifically for incremental programmatic offerings such as electives, enrichment, and MYP. And then we have the typical caveat, which is foregoing assumes no significant and unforecasted state aid cuts. With crazy state aid cut, we have no control. Or increases more than 2% in TRS or ERS. So TRS and ERS go through the roof and we're obligated to pay, we need a bit. And we also obviously excluded increases resulted from the capital bond, which are to be offset, right? Those are offset by dollars that we bring in as a result of
building.
What?
The aid.
Yeah.
We get building aid.
Yeah. So that's the deal there. Grants, we changed. Last year we had $1 million application target. We deemed that it might be better to say received grants or commitments for grants in amount of $1 million. So we wanted a bit more focus on what we're going out to get and, making sure that we're really channeling the efforts in the right way and those things that we could get.
Yeah, last year we applied for about $1.5, $1.6 million. We received about $800,000. So we're looking at more of, the problem we do have is there were many grants that we were very interested in, but with the number of free and reduced lunch students here, we weren't able to obtain them. So it kind of stopped us in our tracks. But we're going to do our due diligence this year and try to find others that maybe we didn't locate last year that will not be affected by that. So
that's about their communication. Again, one of the things we heard from CMTA as well as other units was that we need better communication between the administration and faculty, staff, everybody. So we made that kind of a specific goal. It was there last year. We basically changed it to say we wanted to have emphasis on increased communication between administrators and teachers, including the implementation of skip-level meetings, during which each classroom teacher, teacher assistant, and paraprofessional will meet with either the superintendent or one of the assistant superintendents, kind of talk through performance goals, what we can do better, how we can grow the district. And I don't know if it's in, if we put it in this document or not, but oh yeah, and that the administration and the board is going to work to compile a survey, kind of an anonymous survey directly to that same group. Say, give us your feedback, give us your thoughts, give us your ideas, let us look at it, and we'll sit down and, obviously the work is in figuring out the right questions to ask so that you get some data that you can use. But Facilities, so the facilities is, the goal is to continue to obviously maintain, and we're also going to work with the facilities committee this year to develop more of a five-year maintenance plan and a plan for the useful life of our system. So we have a maintenance plan. We've always had a maintenance plan. We funded it every year, sometimes not as much as we would have liked due to tax cap. We want to go through those things that, you know, aren't normal maintenance, the burners, the AC units, all those other things, figure out what the useful life is, and then to the extent we can, when budget allows, segregate for those things. At least we know and we can make an informed decision, are we going to fund or not? So that's one of the things. It's in the goal, and I think, you know, the facilities committee, we talked about it a bit before, it will, you know, in the last 2 years, work very hard with us on the bond, and that's done. There's not going to be very much for them to do in that realm while the work is going on in the next 2 years, so it's going to be more maintenance-focused and capital bond, you know, capital-focused. Technology, I think the only real change here is ensure we get our smart schools, you know, smart school bond, and we get everything we can do there, and that will come to the technology committee as well. District policies, we last year were successful in getting all policies put up online. We want to look at a comprehensive hiring and tenure policy this year, and we will do that as part of the district policies. So that brings it back to kind of where there's a bit more thinking. Goals, student achievement. Last year we had goals for graduation, advanced regents, special ed graduation, those who are eligible, as well as assessment score goals and regents goals tied to state averages. And in our last meeting of the board, we spent a ton of time discussing, and I think we were all of the same thought that we really wanted to have a consistent and objective metric. That being said, the opt-out kind of makes analyzation of data from 1 year to the next difficult. The way we looked at it last year, I think we could have done a bit better in that we didn't look at cohort data. We looked at fourth grade last year versus fourth grade this year. You have a whole different group of kids, and in a tiny district like ours, the data isn't always consistent, you know, because you have 100 kids, and if you have five kids that are different, that's 5%, and that really moves the needle. So we listened, and I, you know, again, spoke to the CMTA a little bit and spent a lot of time with administration just kind of talking through what the right idea is and going back and forth with different ideas such that we could keep the objectiveness of a goal but get more input. And what we came up with in the discussions was that for graduation, we're going to come up with total eligible for regents and advanced regents, and it's working on that now with Jeremy. Total eligible for regents, advanced regents, total that should pass, and then a stretch goal for each category that is achievable with work, and that's what they'll get back to us with, hopefully before the next board meeting, and you know what we'll look at and talk about. There'll be those categories. So it'll be regents, advanced regents with honors. I mean, I don't know if I had said that. I didn't have that in my email, but we talked about it. The advanced regents with honors.
Right.
We haven't talked about that. So let's make sure that's there. So that we have the goals for each category and then the special ed goals. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to, you know, to the extent anybody's got comments on these specific goals, we'll address them. We'll adopt the goals. We'll leave the assessment scores and the graduation scores separate. So that brings me to the assessment. Assessment scores, what we decided to do was, again, keeping with a consistent and objective metric, but getting the feedback, we decided to look, and I'm going to give an example because otherwise I get confused. We decided to look at, let's take grade 3 ELA. So we're going to look at grade 3 ELA 2015, okay, and say, how did that group of kids do both in passing and in mastery? We're going to then bring that forward and compare it to what the state average is in the next year. So you get that cohort compared to the state average the next year. The reason you have to compare it to state average is you may have choppiness with tests. And we're going to say this is where it should be, right? And then we're going to have a little bit more for the goal. And we talked about like a 2% adder for the goal, for that growth goal. And then what we're going to do is say, well, we had a significant number of kids opt out in this district. Which may or may not, as I talked about before, skew the data. So we're going to go back to each teacher, and we're going to say, listen, these are your numbers. You know your kids. You know how you taught them. You know the right reason technology and the READ 180 scores that they got What should they have been? And we're going to set the goals. That we're going to take that data, look at it, and set the goals based upon kind of what it was, what the teacher that had these kids all year think it should have been, and that's then the goal for next year. You know, some combination. It's not going to be, you know, guaranteed. It's going to be the administration is going to look at that and say, here's what we believe it should be for each test. Regents is... the Regents, what we decided was it's going to be, you know, the Regents scores for 14 and 15, there's going to be a 2% adder for 15, 16, passing and mastery to represent growth for those Regents scores. So that's, you know, the scores and the graduation rates. The graduation rates and the Regents scores should come at the next meeting. The assessments, because of the state data, we said might take until mid-October, right?
The Regents assessments. And the 3-8 as well. We don't have the state comparison for the Regents yet, and then the 3-8 piece.
And it's going to take some time to talk to teachers, get their input.
Yeah.
So the only thing that
I would say with both Regents and 3-8, because we have comparative data that won't be out until like September, October.
We'll get the graduation info for the next meeting. We'll review and adopt that. And the Regents and the assessments will come in October. So is anybody on the board, based on the document that we're going to adopt tonight, which includes the financial goals and the written goals here, but does not include graduation or assessment scores, but does include the methodology we discussed. Anybody have any comments?
One thing I'd like to just go back on, it doesn't necessarily have to do with what we're saying here about technology, but how do we actually obtain that smart school money?
Yeah, we actually have to pay out of our pocket, and then we're reimbursed within 90 days. We make an application, there's specific parameters, we pay on the front end for the stuff, and we're reimbursed in 90 days.
And there's a dollar amount that's already secured.
We got like $1.2 million, or $1.1 million.
Yeah. So if we spend some of that money tomorrow, we'd be reimbursed for it.
It's got to be approved.
It's got to be approved, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You're approved, you buy the stuff, and there's very specific criteria. Some of it's security, some of it's smart schools, and that's where I think we talked to Ricardo, who's kind of leading the charge on smart schools, to come together with the technology committee and figure out, hey, we have $1.1 million. How can we best use this? Is that your problem? How can we best use this?
Okay.
Any other questions on this? No? Okay, motion to adopt the goals that we've circulated, including the financial goals. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. All right, so I'm just going to go out of order just so that we can keep in line with kind of the goals and the thinking, and then we'll jump back into order. Another thing that we're obligated to do by state law is put together a superintendent's rubric, which is the evaluation for the superintendent that we do each year. We did the vast majority of the evaluation for his superintendent's 2014-2015 I think was required by June 1st. So that's done. The only thing that needs to get filled in with that is kind of the numerical on the scores and state average again once that comes. But our obligation is now by, I don't know if we have printed, but it's by, I think, September 1, is to implement and adopt a rubric for next year and then get that filed, I think, by September 15th, right, with the state. So what we did was we took the rubric that we had last year. We tied it to the goals that have been, that the board just adopted, financial goals, the assessment concepts. And then I had kind of sent out an email with a couple of other thoughts that I had and that, you know, a couple different board members had raised. So maybe we'll take a minute and just run through and see if anybody's got any comments on what's in front of me now. And I'll indicate kind of where there are changes. So if you go to 1.6B, we just updated that to reflect the updated, actually that one wasn't even updated, it's a 12% budget over the next 5 years. That's there. C, D, those represent the changes in the budget goal from 1.5% to 2%. The grant receipt goal in 1.7, we changed it from, you know, apply to receive. 1.9 was implements technology plan, ensures technology is employed appropriately in educational process. That goes to the smart school stuff and what we're talking about, as well as, you know, technology in all classrooms. Maximizes special ed enrollment, increasing percentage of tuition, achieving board goals related to advanced reading, that was there. One second. I think I had something added. Just looking for where it is so I can point it out.
If you see ones that are omitted, that's like the capital bond presentations or things of that nature. There was one duplicate we realized. That one was worded, one was numbered, so we took that out.
313, conduct meetings twice annually by admin staff, superintendent, two assistant superintendents, all faculty. We talked about that in the thing, that's the skip level concept. So we put that in here. Work with board to compile, distribute, and analyze a survey of all staff to be issued by November 1. So we put that in here. Assess guidance functionality, provide benchmark data for surrounding schools, and implement a plan to provide greater resources to our students to facilitate career path analysis and college choice decisions beginning in ninth grade. Plan to be submitted by November 1. That's new. Continuing on. 411. Refines and updates 5-year educational growth plan, including proposed timing of programmatic modifications, cost to implement measurement, metrics for success, failure, and sources of funding. So we rolled out a 5-year plan last year, which was great. I think it was a very generalized plan, and we talked a lot about making that plan much more specific, such that, you know, we've got a very clear roadmap. What are we adding? When are we adding it? How are we funding it? How are we prioritizing so that it's not a, and I don't mean to say that this is ever what it was, but it's not a, you know, ad hoc decision each year. It's more of a, you know, thought out plan, and that's the hope there. That's the changes. So everybody's seen this. The changes are exactly what we've discussed. Does anybody else have any comments on this? Things they'd like to add? Things they think they should be removed? No? You?
Nope. That's great.
Motion to adopt superintendent performance evaluation rubric.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. So this is for discussion, and, you know, we're setting the calendar. This kind of came up, high school graduation 2016. I've had people approach me at various times saying, you know, I absolutely love the way graduation's done, never change a thing, and other people have approached to say, well, this should be outside because my grandparents can't come because I have a family of five, and it's beautiful to do it outside. So I really have no... I thought this year was phenomenal and you know, really nicely done inside. But I could certainly see next year we'll have a class of how many? 160?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 155.
We're getting
big.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've historically limited to 4 people by fire marshal regulation. I'm not certain that we were in compliance this year. I don't know. I'm sure we were, but it was right in that line.
We were perfect.
It's very tight.
So one of the thoughts that I have was, you know, there are positives and negatives to everything. Outside is a cost. You know, outside for people in the middle of the day on Saturday is hot, you know, depending on who it is. Outside, sometimes it rains.
What about the gymnasium? It holds more than the auditorium.
Yeah,
the only... there are pros and cons. That's what you're going to find.
We've
had committees before.
It's not.
Yeah, the AC was good in the gymnasium. Yeah. When we held a couple of awards ceremonies there, there was a large complaint that people couldn't sit back in the bleachers, and that was a long time for elderly people to be seated in that kind of a seating. But the AC is there, which is great. We do have testing going on during that time, pre-prom activity, so there are things that are going on that we would have to figure out, you know, things like that.
But if they were sitting, like the elderly, if they got the seating of the chair sitting on the floor, they'd have a back.
The kids would be able to be on the floor.
kids would be on the floor, and so they'd have all the seats.
They'd be in the bleachers. So again, we could try to work around everything. So there's nothing. I don't think there's nothing we cannot accomplish. You know, as a school district, there's going to be pros and cons to it. I've been involved with an outside graduation for 18 years previously. Mr. Caswell has run outside graduations for a decade. So we've been involved in them. There's pros and cons to both.
One of the things that I thought might be an interesting thing, kind of to teach a little bit of ownership and also kind of let the seniors, and I don't, it's just a thought, put together here are the pros and cons, here's what we think would be good, here's why, and make a presentation. Would we rather it's theirs, right? Would we rather it be outside? What's the cost for it to be outside? It's almost like a project. What does it cost to rent the speakers, to rent the seats, to rent the tent, to do the whole thing? Can we do it, during the day? Can you do it at 5 o'clock on Saturday so it's not as hot? Do we want to do it inside because we love it inside and we're happy with the simulcast? But I think just kind of give it to them. We're not bound by that. We can say no, we don't like that.
Yeah. It's a great idea. It's a teachable moment too for that.
And if they come back with nothing. My concern is if at 160, you're going to be at 600 people in that room.
Just four.
I think that, what does the room hold?
529.
636?
529.
So no question about it. We have concerns about that, and we had in the past.
So you're going to be less than four people per, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
you're
going to
be less than four people per, you're going to have three people per kid.
Approximately, yes.
Not all people are in full, but there will not be extra tickets for sure.
Right.
At the end, what we do now is we give everybody four tickets.
How many people are in LGI this year?
I don't know.
We actually, there were 19, but then there were actually no shows, so all 19 were moved into the auditorium.
And how many graduated this year?
I don't know.
So you guys are there, you run this year. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
We've been doing it for 12 years.
Move it.
To?
Outside.
What if it rains?
Well, I'm sure Rocky Point does it outside. Boy Jeff does it outside. They have a rain date.
A date or a plan?
Yes.
Which one? They'll
have it for Thursday night. If it doesn't work on Thursday, they'll move it to another day.
Yeah.
Okay. Or
you mean you always have the fallback being right. The
auditorium. Absolutely. The problem is that when Brad and I doing the lights, we are swamped. There are so many people back there. Brad had to leave for a few minutes because we're claustrophobic. That's how many people are back there. We're not letting anybody who's not supposed to be behind us, but surrounding us is just tremendous.
80 plus people that did not have tickets that just come in. And we go through it every year. Like the year prior, we literally had two mothers ready to go to Fisticuffs. We had to separate them because it's so crowded and people will come in with 12 people and they go, I have four tickets, try stopping me.
I mean, for me, it's
so you go, okay, you're not going to cause a scene. And
I have to say, and maybe it's the lawyer in me, but it terrifies me if we're over that number. God forbid. God forbid something happened. If we're under the number, we can say the fire marshal said this is the number, we're under the number, this is horrible. If we're over the number, and I'm not talking about a financial liability, I'm talking about, I don't know what the rest of you guys think about it, but those are my thoughts.
Yeah. See, I'm opposed to him if I could quickly. I like the gymnasium for a lot of reasons. Number one, because even the bleachers outside don't have the seat backs. If I'm correct, they'd still be in the bleachers, who's ever watching it.
Correct.
We have a beautiful gymnasium. It's air-conditioned. I think out of the 12 years we've been doing it, if I'm correct, we've only had 3 years of nice weather. It's either been extremely hot or torrential rain.
What about evening?
West Hampton does it at like 5 on Friday or 6
still
on Friday.
Pretty warm. I mean, I know with people, again, it is a little bit of a hike down there. And if you bring in a lot again, you start talking about grandparents, people older, it is a hike. So we have to figure out parking, handicap parking, how do you get people accessible to the field. It is moving then all the equipment, obviously the sound system, the chairs. If the gym's not, or they should say the field's not right there. So I'm not totally against that. I prefer the gymnasium because it's a beautiful gym, unlimited seating, never have to worry about tickets again. You have to get probably a little bit less of a sound system because you have the walls, you don't have to do the entire...
Do we rent the sound system for the auditorium when we do it, or is that ours?
That's ours.
That's the built-in one. So we would probably have to rent.
Yeah,
it's
not good.
How many people is the gym?
A lot more than the auditorium, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what they told us when we did the
Wizards
game.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear from friends too. Just, hey, graduation was great, but I baked.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say if anything you're doing outside, I would be definitely then for Friday night as opposed to Saturday with the weather.
Or Saturday afternoon. I mean, yeah. Saturday night. I agree with you. The midday Saturday is tough.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I definitely think we should have a change of venue. I mean, whether it be the gymnasium or outside, I mean, that's for us to figure out.
So let's have the kids put a proposal. Listen to what they have to say. See where the cost factors are, and go from there.
But I don't want the I want the proposal to be, if they're going to do this, and we're going to take what they say for any significant point. I want it to be dollars, the cost. I want there to be a very clear. Not just we like it better outside. We believe that it's better because it A, B, C, although the cost can be offset, you know, a true analysis.
Absolutely. Do a little maybe due diligence on our end. At least get some cursory numbers to figure out where we stand.
Let's have them presented by October 15th, and then we'll take that and get smart on it. Right?
I mean, we have enough chairs, obviously, for graduates, and you already have the bleachers. So if you did it in the auditorium, the only rental cost would be your decorations. And we do have the sound system in the elementary school. I know the Fender, if it's there, we could see how it sounds. And if not, that would really be the only cost of the sound system. Because we have enough chairs for students. They would obviously be on the main floor of the auditorium. I'm sorry, at the gymnasium. And then you would open up all your bleachers for your spectators.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. And that I'm not opposed to it.
Just points there.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly...
I'm for either one as long as it's not in the auditorium. It's just been really... We get done and everyone's out there like, why are we doing this?
And make sure Ed can hear. I mean, I thought it was great this year, even though it was in the auditorium. It's not about that. It's more about, you know, you look at it. If you have three kids and a husband and wife, that's your four. Grandparents can't come in. I think in today's age, you know, the grandparents, I certainly know my family, help support. They're there. You know, it's kind of a sad thing to say, go watch it on TV, you know. All right. So we'll have to do that maybe by October 15th or something.
I've heard them.
Do you have our senior class officers and stuff already in place?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yep, and he advises.
That's it. Yeah.
So then the next two topics we had, middle school 10th period.
Just the concern, Melissa, you know we're always working on it. I've been in the school so many times. I just haven't seen it work effectively. I know you've tried over and over again. It just, when a math test comes around, and everybody needs to see Mr. Clancy and can't get in. It's just not working. And I know we put it out to the curriculum committee. I just think we have to keep trying to figure a way that it's...
What's
not,
just so I understand, what's not? I don't understand. What is it not?
So 10th period is pretty much, and I don't mean, it's just chaos. When I've been there, kids are all over the place because they're trying to go to the library versus whatever scheduled period they have. And some kids need the math, but they're not scheduled the math because of the way it's scheduled, the scheduling, right? You can speak to the scheduling because I don't know how they figure out the scheduling. But let's just say there's a math test for Mr. Clancy's class. Every single one of the kids need that extra help, but only like 8 of them, 20 of them, get to go to your class. And so it's not benefiting.
Oh, so no, I just want to understand. So 12. And again, I'm not arguing with you at all. I'm just trying to get it. Only 20 kids can get extra help?
Yeah, because...
Well, look, I'll take as many as I can get.
Well, not everybody too.
Yes.
But explain it to me. Is it because they're not coming because they're going outside, or is it because
I think Mrs. Brank is saying that 100 kids can't fit in Mr. Clancy's class with the day with a math test. So for those of you that don't know, the 10th period is a 29-minute period from 2:01 to 2:30 at the middle school. So it's an extra help period. And for the past 2 years, going into our third year, we, the faculty and I, have worked to make that the best use of the 29 minutes that we can for the students. So there's been a lot of change in 10th period from
just
trying
to make
that
one
yes,
down. You've tried a million things,
right,
but I think
so
it's great.
As far as, right, so it used to be traditionally it was the students pick, like, the bell would ring and the kids decided where they wanted to go.
And nobody knew where they were.
And that has shifted. So instead of the student choice, it's the teacher's choice. So the teachers assign where the students would go.
So if out of your 100 kids, you say these 29 kids or 30 kids need extra help being here tomorrow?
No. It's by the week.
We sit down every week and then they're assigned to a classroom, whether it be science, social studies, math. 9 go to the library, some go to the gym, and then they go on a rotating basis.
So our 450, how many do you have? 450?
Four.
400 kids, there's scheduled changes on a weekly basis as to what specific areas.
Monday morning, and then the kids go out on the board and they go.
And is it all the substantive areas? So if I'm
every
one.
Every single substantive area. Yeah, when we first started, that was another thing. I met with every faculty member this summer that I started, and one of the comments was, you know, one of the pieces of feedback, which I totally agree, is that 10th period used to be math, English, science, and social studies, as I understand it. And now every single staff member has students.
So
the
art
teacher, the technology teacher, the family consumer science, the competition, every teacher's utilized. And the purpose being to bring the numbers down to reduce the class sizes in the course.
So do you see all of your 100 kids, let's say, over the course of a 5-day week? In special help?
I see 29 kids for the same week, and then they switch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we decided, like, how often do we switch? If we change it every single day, that would
so be... So every day those kids go to math.
Is too long.
They're supposed to go to math, but they might be called out for a lesson, or they might have a speech lesson.
Okay.
But
they're scheduled for... The same 29 kids are scheduled for your 10th period class for 5 days, and then over the course of a month, do you see all 100 of your kids?
I'm supposed to, yes.
And then
it'd
also
be a little bit more than a month, just because now you take into gym and all that. Yeah, every 2 months. So we've been looking at some different avenues, and it is. And from what I've heard, it's 1,000 times better.
Are we taking attendance?
We can enforce. Do I take attendance? I do. Not supposed to, because we're not allowed. Now I do it from the point where my kids come in and I check them in. Because I look at it from a legal standpoint, where I want to know where they are. But if they don't show up,
it's not a class.
Let me just stop a couple things, because just make sure we have it here, because I want to get things wrong. The teachers take attendance. The teachers report to the main office when somebody does not show up. Am I correct when I said that?
There's a log on Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, so the answer is yes. So let me just stop that. Second, let me make sure, as a parent, if I want my child to go to a specific extra help except for the one that they were scheduled to, that child is allowed to switch. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
There's
keep
an
going.
Opportunity.
There is.
I can tell you by experience, there's not always the opportunity.
Do you mean space in that person's class?
Yes.
Look, Mr. Shower can have 35 people in his extra help class on a day where people are hanging from the rafters. And he can have that every day. But if we said that, if a parent said, look, I want Joey to go every single day, but unfortunately, that's really not possible.
Every single day?
Yeah, there are some parents...
Right, for the whole year or something like that. Yes. Yeah, I can understand that.
I just have a question. I mean, I'm on the committee, too, for curriculum, and I know... You talked about it before, it's the 10th period, and I think a while ago, back we had asked, and I said, a couple of us had mentioned maybe, like, you know, breaking up the day, like, so we get rid of 10th period, because it's not working. I guess it's according to the teacher's contract. That was the answer that we were getting, right? That we can't do it because it's in their contract.
When you say breaking it up, do you mean...
Like, adding 4 minutes per...
Yeah. Yeah, just getting rid of it, you're saying?
Yeah, getting rid of it. Because, I mean, it's...
Right
it's
now, it is. You're absolutely right. Right now, it is in the contract that we have this particular class. If we wanted to go back to the Senator Rich's Teachers Association collective bargaining agreement and say, by the way, we'd like to take these minutes from this 29, and we'd like to put it into all of the classes and change that, that was something that had to be agreed upon with them. If we did that, what we would ask would
because
be...
Because it does say, like, I remember reading something where it does say in the contract that it's according to, like, if per the recommendation of the curriculum committee and, like, I guess the administration, and that you can reopen the contract and negotiate it.
So
I'm not saying, obviously it's not going to happen now, but
the only time you renegotiate a contract is if both sides are willing to open the contract. Is that what you're saying, Danielle?
Well, no, I'm just saying that's how you start the process. We've been talking about this for like so many times.
Let me ask a question, and I don't know the answer to this. Was it the recommendation of the curriculum committee that the students would be better served by having 4 minutes longer in each class? See, I've asked this exact question.
That was a question. It was a question.
Oh, no, I don't think it was.
I brought that question up.
I've asked this exact question over the last 4 months or 5 months in talking about it, and it's consistently come back that, you know, 10th period was something that was fought for by administration years ago, something that they thought brought significant value in providing special help, extra help, but that, right, this is what came back, but that perhaps it could be done better. Perhaps, to your point, if we were taking better attendance, if the kids were, you know, I don't know that they're not where they're supposed to be, but if the kids were, if it were more regimented in some way, it would be better.
Since Madeline's been in the middle school, I've seen them attempt many different things, and I applaud them for it, but it's still not working. It's still broken.
Well,
it still could be tweaked.
There's no question about it that there are things that are good and bad about the 29-minute, you know, extra help philosophy. When it was brought here way before our time in administration, over a decade ago, it was brought here not as just an extra help. They had a mentor. What was it called, Tim?
Advisory.
The advisory period. It wasn't even an extra help period. When it was brought here as an advisory. It went from an advisory period to an extra help period, and that's what you have now. So now what I would have is my 29 students come, 26 of them or 23 of them are quietly studying. This is the way it's supposed to look when you walk in there, and six of them or three of them are going to be up there working with the teacher at an extra help table. The teacher also could, if they wanted to, instruct the entire 29 class of extra help if they felt like that was extra help. Not give a lesson, but do extra help. So it's really up to the teacher, you know, what to decide. That's what the model is supposed to look like. When Ms. Bates came there, you're correct about things like attendance, the movement, things of that nature. There was major concerns about the 10th period. They brought in the town hall meetings, right? They brought in...
We had like Meaningful Monday at the end of the year that came from the curriculum committee where we said, okay, once a month we're going to do a community service act. So we did
they brought in things on top of that. And here we are today now, right? So here we are today with the extra help. And if we can tweak it. Now, there's been several committees that have addressed this since I've been here. I've watched the committees address it and come back. And we go back to where we are again, where we are now. Although, kudos to you, Ms. Bates. I know you've done a good job and gotten a lot better. Danielle is absolutely correct. Some of the major changes that could be done in there are with the collective bargaining agreement, would have to have union and administration or union and Board of Education support. If you put the minutes back in the period, then the question is there extra help at all? If there was extra help, it would either be, if you put all the minutes back in, then the extra help would come after school. But again, that would be another thing. Just that's still a union issue. That's not something that unilaterally.
Let me stop here for a second, though. So the issue that I've heard from you, and that is that perhaps children that need a specific extra help aren't getting it.
Well, that, and I have been at the school where I have seen, during 10th grade, in fact, this year, so I've seen several students, not in the classroom, mm-hmm. I've seen several students abusing the lockers,
so does
touching
that,
them, so I'm just concerned.
If is
there
attendance?
Is attendance, I know some of them might, but are all of them taking attendance? But
so yes. My point is, when you say it needs to be fixed, are you saying take attendance?
I think attendance needs to be...
Taken and enforced,
and I believe that we really have to look at the child, because even though...
Maybe a better communication mechanism to parents that says, here's your child, you know...
But the communication, let me just explain, the communication is good between the teacher and the parent, but if Mr. Clancy cannot accommodate every child that needs the extra help for his test, he just can't.
Right.
There's only... 1 week before the test, he can't accommodate everyone. So it's just a broken thing that maybe we just need to keep on trying to fix.
Is that the only time that extra help is available? That's my question.
Absolutely not.
And even before.
And he is, as far as contract is concerned, you are absolutely right.
Yes.
The goodwill from these teachers, and I don't want to embarrass the two that are sitting here, are second to none. The amount of, you know, extra help they give is incredible. I've seen it before school, after school. I've seen it at night. I've seen it on Sundays where we had to open up the building for them, but that is not in their contract. They just do that out of goodwill and who they are.
But so from a takeaway perspective, if the answer was, assuming we're right that we can require attendance to be taken by contract, which I think we are at the middle school when we looked at it, not the high school, but the middle school, correct?
Absolutely.
And what I was saying about communication was how often... So that schedule changes each week?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's obviously not made each week. It's made when?
No, we do.
You do it each week?
Yes.
Based on student needs. So we spoke in the beginning. We talk about that faculty meeting all the time. The faculty and I spoke into what's the appropriate amount of time, what's best for kids to change it. Once a month, we felt like it's too long because there's the need change
sure.
for the student, and every day would be too confusing for a sixth step.
So if the attendance thing, we're that's one of your issues, and I hear you there. And if the other thing was, here's the schedule for the week, and it went out in some way, shape, or form, and there was also separate communication. To the extent you feel your child should have specific extra help, let us know, and we will try to accommodate. You never accommodate 100 kids in extra help.
Well, that's
help
what
every
I'm
day.
Saying. You're not
yeah.
accommodating it. It's just, I'm sorry to put you as the example. It's just if that test is coming, my child may not be struggling enough that he says she needs to go,
right.
but she knows she has to go in order to pass that test.
Right.
And then it puts another set of,
sure.
problem on my child,
right.
where she's all upset because she can't get the help she needs.
Right. So maybe that's the answer.
You felt that way? I'm just curious. Have you felt there are a lot of students, parents that have been coming to you saying, my kid wants to go to your extra help and you can't let them in?
Well, especially if he's already signed, or for any of us, we have any test come up. He already has 29. Now there's another 15 kids whose parents say, like, my kid needs to go to math this week.
So you're getting a lot
when
of those?
He's got those 29. A lot
so
of
you're
them
getting
don't, even, I hate
so,
to say, don't want to be there.
So you're now. Saying you're getting right. a lot of those requests?
So now you're trying to take care of those 29 plus the 15.
Does that happen?
All the time.
All the time. And
right. that's the issue.
Right. That's where I make up the extra help after school. That's because I know I have to. For those who can't get in, right. they have to be there.
So maybe the answer is, to the point we talk about whether there's additional extra help. Yeah, it's full, but we're going to have a test prep extra help. Something that we can talk about, a separate time, a lunchtime extra help. I don't know
we
what.
Do, we do that, but you're right.
But then again,
that
contract.
In order to work for the contract issue.
Well, you can eliminate. You know what? You are making a really good idea, because we do it during lunch. We do try to work out of it. And what you're talking about is maybe a little more tutoring time and stuff like that.
Something else, yes. like an additional, we have
he
our standard program.
The kids go, they eat for 10 minutes,
yeah.
he has a whole group, and they all go to his room.
Right.
On his room most every day for lunch, all those kids eat their lunch, literally for 10 minutes,
that's
and then they
spend.
But really,
that's
they throw goodwill too, though, right?
Right.
I mean, honestly,
so
and there are others that do
31 minutes there, just to, and those are the kids that just want to be there.
Right.
And sometimes there's 40 in there.
Right.
And those are the ones that they give up their lunch.
Quite frankly, it makes me very happy to know that. And it really does.
Yeah.
There are.
They want to be there. And I would say, too, it's subject. Math
right.
is a hot topic for
it's a good problem to have in a certain way.
Absolutely.
There's other subjects that is not the demand isn't there. So
right.
I think math specifically is a high demand.
Sure.
Most schools, if you go to, from my experience, it's going to you all can speak to most schools that I've worked at, you have extra help after school,
mm-hmm.
and it's specific on the day and the subject. So Monday at so and so school is math. Tuesday is English, and so on down the line. That's the way it is at most schools. Then you have the goodwill. So some teachers say, I'm there every day. But that's usually what you see contractually. So that's I just want
to... So what do we look over time?
Could we, this time period, we were talking about using the high school students. Is that something that maybe we could bring down a couple of high school students? I know we have the club, like the
peer tutoring
class. As long as there's an adult, we could try to look into that. It's a good idea,
yeah.
but we want to make sure there's an adult with them.
Absolutely.
But we using them, that's a good idea.
I asked you about doing before, too. I know because maybe if that was a sub, before a test, a test prep or something like that, because there is... chorus and band, which is technically not on the schedule, and they have to go to school when the high school kids go. So, if that was something...
Chorus and band is not on the schedule.
Well, I'm saying, it's not incorporated into the day unless you're doing chorus or band. And, they have to stay after some time period anyway, even though it's the extra help if they're not getting or not. But if that was something that they wanted to do to benefit, if it was a time stretch or something, was that something that might...
Well, that's the thing about the additional time. So, whether it be lunch or first period, not
yeah.
chorus or band... do we have data that shows these are the kids that are excluded by numbers? If we could say, listen, we're seeing 30, 40, 50 kids excluded by numbers, let's fix this problem, that's an easy problem to fix, whether it's going to the CNTA and saying, we'd like somebody to do this and we're going to figure out a way to compensate that person, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But without knowing whether it's, three kids before a test that aren't getting it that maybe we could do it a little better, or 30. Can we figure that out?
I think it is very course-specific and test-specific. Like, I don't think the physical education instructor is having, you know, an abundance of students asking for extra help.
Yeah.
But I do believe that the day before Mr. Clancy's test,
correct,
I can see many students.
Or
it's the same thing you see at the high school.
All the course,
you can go through the high school 10th period, and you can walk by classes. They're empty all the time. And then all of a sudden, right before the test, you walk by and you see 35 students in that class before the exam.
And that may be part of it, too. Part of it may be... The time for extra help is not the day
right
before the test. The time for extra help is all year throughout the thing, asking questions when you've got it. I don't know, but all right.
I don't think any student.
Is 10th period is part of your day? It's mandatory.
Yes.
For middle school.
Middle
and then
school.
A-plus student, I'm going to some class.
Yeah, yes.
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so I think we have action items. One is the attendance. We're going to get smart on it. If we're right, then we're going to ensure that we're enforcing. I know you. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. It always should be enforced, and if
we're going to look at
that structurally, you know, yep, you see people in the hallway, but by all means, they shouldn't be there, and they're cutting out of their class. They shouldn't be doing that.
Any way you could switch the time? When I say have 10th period become first period, mm-hmm, I know it's a music thing, and maybe that's something that could be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are coming in at 7:15 if they're in band and everything. Get everyone there at 7:15. Start the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go through the day, go through the 9 periods. 10th period, kids would go home. Extend classes, all right? Do it that way.
So you're saying have 9 periods, not 10.
Right.
Extend the classes, but require everybody to come in first period.
Yes.
So then you're going to have an extra period of
yes
the day.
And
which
and
is
then
a significant change.
Well, as long as the union's willing to do
it. You guys on board with that?
Let me see.
Who motions? We'll have a shared staff. So, like, if we extend the class by 41 minutes, we can't share band and chorus because Mr. Pressel and him are on a 41-minute schedule or on a 45-minute schedule.
But then you're also having that case, the band and chorus. Listen, I'm not saying the band, I'm just saying I have no idea, and it's probably not something that's going to happen in the next 3 weeks.
I understand.
So it's something that you should talk about and think about. Is there a better way we can do it next year?
And then the last piece of day, we do not teach your...
how many potentially could be on the bus.
So, I mean, I think we have a fix for this year for the specific problems, and for next year, if there's a better way we can do this, I think everybody's open to that, but I think we've talked about even classroom usage shrinking into 9 periods. Didn't we say that we have a significant issue between middle school and high school class usage if we're on the same...
No, because they're...
We do share
a few rooms, so that would be that is like that we share technology,
we
share art,
and
we are maxed out.
A real issue if we were on the same. That was an issue that we had.
Yeah.
All right, so
the bell schedule thing is the 300 way.
Yeah.
Or even we could separate staff completely. Most are. It's the technology room, art kind of consumer science, that 300 wing. If we increased by 3 minutes per period, and high school did not, we wouldn't be able to share all that.
So can
and we could, we're on the same bell schedule. Like if they change, we'd have, and it's a contractual piece that we would have to change.
I'm not overly concerned with the contractual piece. We can always work that out if we think that we can do this better from an educational perspective, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, if we can, but we can't pay for it. But if we think we can do a lot better from an educational perspective, that's what we should look at, right?
Yeah, it's the best way for students to use that 29 minutes.
But I think we're looking at a 13-month issue, not a 3-week issue.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for it to be solved today, but
yeah,
I am looking for us to keep working at it because it's not.
Yeah.
It should be.
So the attendance fixes your problem. Taking the attendance first fixes what you've seen. And then we talked about the communication, so we're going to make sure the parents know and have an opportunity to contact.
Well, they have the opportunity now. That's all already been.
Do they all know? I mean, is
everybody
it, are we doing
knows
a good job?
I know.
Yeah.
No, everybody knows
okay
that if they want to, they can call Ms. Bates or the teacher.
Okay.
It's just that it's sometimes not going to happen just because of the schedule.
Right.
And
can I just ask, how long our middle school, is it since the actual middle school started we've been on an 8-period day? Because it has not been that.
No.
Oh, no.
How long have we been on an 8-period day in the middle school as opposed to a 9-period day? Okay.
I honestly don't know. I've been there 16 years now, I don't know. But the student said before, the advisory, actually, if you ask me, I think that was wonderful. I think it was a great thing. But that's me. I can't say every other teacher would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would agree with Ms. Rank also, Mrs. Rank, saying that there really needs to be a change. And the state's been wonderful with trying to figure out ways. But have we found the best answer right now? The answer is no.
So do we take these fixes for this year, take it to curriculum committee, and you're on the curriculum committee?
Okay. All right, so we can continue that history.
All right. I think the last topic was policies, wellness, dress code, and cell phone policies. Did you have, what's that? Yeah, did you have specific points you want to kind of raise for us to talk about on those?
That's just another thing I noticed walking through the halls. Some of these kids, I remember when my daughter was over at the school, they were forced to put on a T-shirt. They were not allowed to walk around with their breasts hanging out. They were not allowed to walk around with the midriffs or their butt cheeks hanging out. And I walk over there and I'm amazed at what our students are walking around looking like. The hats, they don't take off the hats. I watch them scream at the teachers that try to get them to take off the hats. And the cell phones, they're all walking around with the cell phones, not paying attention. I see them get told to put them away and they don't listen. I just think we need some kind of policy that's enforced. I know that several people were sent home when my daughter was in the middle school just for wearing a T-shirt, some kind of concert T-shirt that just maybe said a bad word.
And I'm more amazed that parents send their children to school just the way they do. It is absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You're lost for words. You're like, you put your son or daughter on a bus, you drop them off looking like this, and it just blows
away. Well, I think some actually bring a bad.
I was going to say, I know that some of them, they change. But I think if it was enforced, like it used to be when my daughter was over in the middle school and the high school, and they were given a T-shirt and said, sorry, no. I don't know if we can do that, but it's pretty pathetic the way we allow the kids to walk around the halls.
What the only thing I want to say is there is a dress code policy in the school district. There is a cell phone policy in both schools. They're different, of course, right? So in the high school, they're allowed to have them in the hallways. So any teachers talking to them about them in the hallways, they're allowed to have them. In the middle school, I believe there are procedures there as well, which is not to have it. So if they're in any class, if a student comes in my class and pulls out a cell phone, there's a procedure for them, for you as a teacher, whether it's through the referral system, whether they're confiscated, you have your right, the power of the pen, you can handle that. Am I correct with that? Yes, okay. And then as far as a dress code,
do we do that?
I believe that I've seen. I don't think
the
teachers.
I've not been in the room, so I wouldn't know if anything. Yeah.
Well, as far as a dress code, I believe it as well. If a child walks into my classroom is inappropriately dressed, you know, wearing a shirt that says, you know, something that's pretty raw or something like that.
Yeah. For inappropriate dress,
you do. And the teacher has the power to write up a referral or take a child down to the main office immediately and be not given a T-shirt, right? But there are consequences and so on.
Yeah, I've given a T-shirt. I've given a T-shirt and said you can either wear this or we can pull them out to get a new.
They have a choice. You don't mandate.
Yeah.
I have leftover glow run T-shirts.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I have the bright yellow T-shirts from
the sixth grade. We've done it at the elementary as well.
Sure.
And the phys ed teachers have like sweatshirts and things that have.
It can't be being done often enough because of what I'm seeing. It's not a practice that we follow through on.
Mr. Foster, you're getting back to the cell phones. Typically, like, we'll call the parent the first time before we even write up the referral. It's amazing that you get from them, like, no, my kid will have the phone. Because if I need to get a hold of them, and I go, listen, the policy is very simple. If you need to get a hold of your child, you contact the main office. We'll contact your child. No, I need my kid 24/7. I need them available. You'll do nothing about it. And that's you run into them more than half the time. Some of them are great. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. I'll take the phone away. But it is amazing now just how the attitude has changed. Just, no, if I need to get a hold of my child, they will have their phone. And we can get into the whole safety issue of it, especially when the last thing you need is students calling their parents. If we ever did have an emergency, a lockdown, whatever it may be, you're trying to get emergency services up here, and now you have parents racing up to the high school or middle school, and they can't get there because all the parents are trying to converge on the school.
Brad, am I right in saying that the children are allowed to bring a cell phone in their pocketbook?
We've made it very clear.
No, I'm saying the policy of the school district. Right. I'm allowed to, with my child, or even Tyler, or Vanessa at the elementary school, if they have a cell phone that's in their pocketbook, that's not being used, they're allowed to have it there. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's in the middle school handbook,
so,
right?
Yes.
That's what
the,
yeah.
Well, the high school handbook is a little different with the high school than the middle school. The only thing it says is board policy can change anything. So we all know that, and we don't understand the board policy on cell phones, but they're allowed to bring them. If they bring them out in the middle school in my classroom and start using them, like you said, you decide to call the parent immediately, and then you'll get a conversation with the parent.
They try to go to the bathroom, the hallway.
Right. If they get caught, using it, the first thing you guys, which I understand, we call the parent. Some of the responses are good for what you're saying, and some are bad. If the child then comes back the second day and does it again, the same thing, walks into your classroom, pulls out the phone, what's the next step?
Referral. We drop off the main office, write a letter, refer.
Gotcha. And then there's a escalating consequences.
Mm-hmm. And we do that.
Some districts do a box or a basket, like you come in and you have to leave your cell phone. I mean,
we talked about that last year. Yeah. This policy came up last year. We talked about, frankly, it's very hard for me not to check my phone when I'm sitting here. You get addicted to it, and I get it.
It's distracting.
And we talked about last year with Ed, and I don't remember who, we had two students with them. It was last year or 2 years ago. I don't know. And if it were me teaching in the class, everybody come in, put your phone on the wall, and then sit down. But then the concern is somebody steals one, somebody breaks one, are we liable? Frankly, I'm not overly concerned with that, but, I don't know. The policy is you can't use them in the classrooms at all at the high school, and you can't use them at all in the middle school. You can use them in study halls. That's what our handbook says. You can use them in study halls and lunch and in the hallway.
At the high school.
At the high school. And I would say if we're not enforcing that, we absolutely should be, and we should be writing up every time.
Absolutely.
So they are allowed to use it in the hallway. I don't know.
Yeah,
at the high school.
That's what the policy is. So
that's where I see the cell phone. Not.
Are you advocating taking it out of the policy for the hallway?
But no, I just think we need to address it. I've seen the use in the hallway and people saying put the phone away because it's distracting when they're walking.
In the middle school,
headphones have to come out.
Not at the high school. No teacher should be telling a child in a high school who has a phone not to be using it.
In the middle school, you can't.
I've never seen them using it.
Yeah.
They must be telling them to stop and pay attention to what they're doing because they're texting, walking right into somebody.
So what are you saying? Yeah. Are you saying that we should not allow in the high school hallways? Should we change the policy? Is that what you're advocating?
Not if that's in the policy, but I just find it distracting and people are just like texting and driving. You're having people not paying attention.
Yeah.
There's also some data out there, and if I can find it too, it's they had looked at schools that have a zero tolerance policy cell phones. There's none. And how academic achievement and all of them came back was much higher in the schools that are no technology versus the schools that allow the technology.
And then
a lot of the studies are being done now. The kids.
I would love to have a no phone policy across the board. For me personally, I think exactly like you're saying, if you don't have that, I think it would be a great thing personally.
It's just amazing you hear the texts go off, the phones ring now in class, and you look at them like, are you kidding me? And they almost look at you like, what's the big deal? It's like, okay, give me the phone. But it's just, they're so nonchalant about it. It's just like,
the student goes to the bathroom to text five people, they vibrate up, call you to the bathroom.
Right.
And
you hear it. It's
so what's the downside to Danielle?
Sorry. I want to go off what Mrs. Hernan said about the safety issue. I was at the school during the lockdown. I was locked in the cafeteria because we were doing something for the PTA. I had my phone. I texted my niece and my nephew during the whole lockdown to find out what was going on at the other school. So I'm just saying, having the cell phone, it could have done something. I mean, it causes a dangerous situation.
So what's the downside to having a zero tolerance policy? Leave your phones home.
Parents.
Your parents
are going to get back
over your parents. We're in a day and age where people feel that they need to,
After 9-11.
My child, the big thing that parents tell me is, they want their child to have it. Or
they want to
be able to contact them at 4 o'clock to check on them.
Which we tell them is fine, just leave it in your locker
from
8 o'clock till 2:30. Should be in your locker 8 to 2:30.
I don't want the cell phone at all, it just makes the black white easy, so there's just no phones. We tell them power down and in your locker. However, if the girl has a pocketbook and it's off and she's not using it and it's concealed in the pocketbook, no one's searching her bag to say,
And when you get a referral, so somebody's using the phone and a referral comes to you, what happens?
The first time we file the code of conduct. So what we do at the middle school is the first time it's confiscated, and if it's up from my office at 2:30, or my secretary's office at 2:30 at the end of the day, at this list, we have a log of how many cell phones get brought across. The second time, the parent has to come to pick up the phone at 2:30. Usually, by the second confiscation, the parent does not want to have to come up to school to years, and we start, we have lunch detention, after school detention, ISS, and, you know, we go off from there. So we haven't, I haven't had to suspend anybody for cell phone use at the middle school. It pretty much stops after the phone gets taken.
But you could.
Yeah, you could.
So I looked through the policies just in you know, preparation for here, and it seems, I mean, again, I would love to not have them at all, but it seems that, you know, other than to your point about, hey, they're vibrating in guys' pockets, I get that. The policies kind of prohibit the usage in the classroom, at least.
At the high school.
And usage in the middle school.
Completely.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I would keep the middle school the same.
Do you think that we should say no hallway? We should contemplate revising the policies, say no hallway usage?
Maybe we should have a good conversation about appropriate cell phone use. I don't know, but, you know, you saw the pictures from the bathroom. The kids are constantly texting each other. It just worries me. I mean, we're in a day and age.
Do you mean, like, training? I'm just how do you want to revise it? Should we do training with them to say, don't take them to the bathroom? And that's fine. I do that at work, believe it or not. One of the trainings that I provide is, think before you text, don't text drunk. And you'd be amazed how sales guys do crazy things with their work phones. And they get fired immediately. I mean, we're that firm. And I have to give this training to 50 adults sitting in a room. And I know that one of them did the wrong thing and is on probation. You know, and that's...
Yeah.
So, but I'm saying, what specific action do you want to take today? Do you want to... How do you want to revise it? Do you want to say no... Do we want to go as far as saying no cell phone usage in the halls, or...
I mean, I'm more hardline. I don't have an issue with possession of it because, you know, to the point that, you know, post 9/11 era parents are very touchy about their kids not having a phone and things like that, the ease of communication after school and whatnot. But in terms of any use within the confines of the building during normal hours, I don't see a need. It's just the only thing that it can bring is distraction.
I'm on board.
So, I mean, I'm more hardline with it. I don't think it's necessary at all to have any use during the day.
So you're saying middle school, high school, same thing.
Yeah.
Can I just say something?
I mean, I'm popping.
I see it from the other end of the spectrum. I get to deal with the parents who are in picking up their phone. You will not tell my child that they cannot have their phone. If I need to get in touch with them, I will get in touch with them. They come in to sign their children out, as is the policy, and I say, okay, I'll call down to the classroom. I already texted him. He's on his way down. So, you need to start with educating
the parents.
We all understand that 9/11 was a tragedy. But your children didn't
cell phones
have
didn't
cell
work
phones
during 9/11. I was in the city that day.
Exactly.
They didn't work.
And your kids,
I can tell you that
100%. Building, and they didn't get in touch with you. But now, every time there's a police car walked in front of the school, and it's usually the SRO, the phone is ringing off the cook.
Yeah.
Look, my child texted me that there's five police cars in front of the building. And then I'll say, ma'am, there are not five police cars. It's this SRO. He's here at least once a week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll text my kid.
I've not heard any upside to allowing usage during the day. Not one person here has said it's a good idea.
I'm going to be the first. Okay, so let me just, because I'm on the other side. I believe if my 17-year-old daughter has lunch and she's in the lunchroom and she wants to call me to explain that she, you know, forgot something at school, or if she wants to use it because it's like a computer nowadays. If she wants to do some research while she's sitting in the cafeteria, or if my child wants to take a picture of the blackboard instead of taking all the notes and they have it, you know, it can be a positive in the area of education. I know a teacher I went and evaluated, and sure enough, in the class, every student pulled out their handheld computer in the hands, and they began to immediately text answers to the teacher, who then came up on the board, and they were literally 30 answers to things, and the teacher was using the technology to her advantage. And I was amazed that this was last year at the high school level watching this. So
if we're utilizing it the right way, I 100% agree.
Vibration in the pocket is the right way.
Yeah.
And with anything. Now, when I first got here, I watched as the administration and teachers fought students in the hallway, and they became police officers, the administration and teachers, well, I got you, and then all of a sudden, things changed. We watch it. There was a committee that brought this forward. There was research done. There was a survey done with the entire faculty before the final decision was made to move from that. I tell the story of being a high school principal and walking down the hall and having two young ladies walking, this is back in the day, and one of them, texting. And I went up to her and I said, oh, do you have to text? You have the whole day. And I'm old school. I didn't understand. And she said, well, I'm just texting her, literally the girl right next to her. And I said, why don't, you kids today, why don't you just talk to her? And she said, it's a secret. And I realized it was like my day was passing the note. This was telling a secret via the phone.
So we don't like them down.
Yeah, my only point is it's a new generation in the 21st century. If it's used properly, I know that there are some teachers that you walk in that class and there is no way there are phones, there's going to be a sound of that phone in that classroom. They're so strict. I'm sure you gentlemen I know are very strict. No nonsense. Not that the kids are not going to do it, but for the most part, I think we have the power. If we would hope that the students at Center Riches are responsible enough. I believe they are. I have confidence that they can do the right thing. And I think that I hate to penalize those that do treat, not one person has picked up a phone as we've sat here, except I texted Tom Kelly to try to get the answer for the thing on the board. Nobody's used it. We're appropriate. We're talking, and we're, I think students can be that way. So that's, I think they're all.
Can that be a senior privilege or a junior senior privilege?
Well, just from my experience at the high school, and this has come, I know Ed worked on it initially his first year with the site-based team, and having been the dean of discipline, getting those referrals and collecting the phones. I'm not going to say there hasn't been a confrontation, but on a whole, the kids appreciate the time because for them it's their downtime, and they appreciate that they can use it. And culturally speaking, in terms of their environment, that's a very big positive for them. It is. And to go, I think we would be going backwards if we said no to the halls. I mean, does the part of me say, if I'm distracted, is it a safety concern? But, if that fire alarm rings, you're going to hear it. If there's an issue, we're going to be able to communicate with them. We don't let them have headphones in the hallway. So, hey, Russ, take your headphones out. I've never had, no way, Mrs. Golia, ever. That it's never become, for me, have there been confrontations, I'm sure, with people? Absolutely.
I'm not so concerned with safety in the hallway. I mean, to bonk heads, but more for me is exactly what you said. People, whether they're using them in the class or they're on and they're a distraction, I hear you on the safety in the hallway.
And I think, I think teachers have found a way to make them positive in the classroom.
So it's enforcing the policy is really what I'm hearing. It's if you're using it in the classroom, then you can be enforcing the policy to say no and writing the referrals.
And all the teachers, because what happens to some of the teachers, and I feel because my conversations with teachers are, wow, I'm doing everything the way it's supposed to be done. And I know next door in the classroom, that teacher's a little more liberal. In fact, the last 2 minutes of class, they tell the kids, anybody wants to use their cell phone, and they kind of look the other way for the last 2 minutes of class. Once you do that, you open the door, and it makes it more difficult if we're all not doing the same thing. There are pros and cons. I agree with Brad. There are pros and cons to having them in the school.
No, you're right. It's being consistent. You laugh when you look at a student looking at their lap, and they're laughing. Really? I'm like, right. Why are you laughing at your lap? What's so funny down there? And they try everything possible, but to Pat's point, it's great. Kids get up now with their backpack. Where are you going? Oh, my mom and dad's picking me up.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, they already texted me. They're at the office right now. I'm like, yeah. I never even get a phone call. Yeah. And all of a sudden the phone rings. Like, your mom and dad's here. I'm like, how did that even
I don't see at the middle school level allowing them to do what they do at the high school at all. I just don't see it. I don't see that ever happening right now. They're not at the age, I think, that they can, do that. But at the high school, I believe they can. And I believe a lot of them, the ones conversations I had with a lot of them, because I remember the seniors coming. I remember the presentations years ago about this and what they were willing to make sure that they did and take on that responsibility. If you allow them to use it in the cafeteria and the hallway, we promise to make sure that we power down in the classrooms. I'm not saying that's happening all over, but that's really the kind of give and take. Now, some teachers are on the other side. They want students to be able to use it in their classrooms. And like I said, I went and observed that class, and And I was kind of taken back at first because really the teacher, they were breaking the policy by allowing every kid to use it. And I think I told you that class when I walked in. And then I started watching it, and it was putting quotes in there, and I forget exactly.
And they could send it right to
it was teacher. Unbelievable. And I watched this occur, and it was incredible. And in fact, you know, I thought it was a great educational tool. And so when I see things like that, I go, wow, are we embracing the new technology? It is a computer.
And some districts use iPads in every class, right? And
sure.
Any iPad you have, if you're hooked up to Wi-Fi, you're getting...
What is the problem?
I don't know. I'm just curious. Do we do any kind of training with our students on the importance of safety on the phones and everything?
Yes.
We do.
Yeah. Both Officer Hughes and Officer Nancy... They come into every grade every year, and they talk about the whole gamut, you know, internet safety. They talk about the idea of, you know, like what you put out there is permanent. You know, communicating to people online that you don't know, all of that stuff, including texting, sending pictures, all of that is covered. I would say every year, at least, you know, through one of them, if not both of them. So it is covered.
And it starts in fifth grade.
And even earlier, because I know, like myself and Ms. Brodus, where I Safe Certified, we started actually as early as second grade. All online safety, all that stuff that was part of the technology curriculum back then.
And so have we done that at town hall meetings during 10th period?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So what there's a nice librarian conversation, and then there's the officer conversation where, do you know this is illegal and you could get taken away? And
what do we want to do?
It's a hardcore conversation.
As a board, I mean, do we... Are we advocating a change? Or are we saying we're good with what's there?
I think we're mixed. I don't think we're all on board on the same thing, because I want change.
You want change meaning what exactly?
I want consistency. If we're going to say no in the classrooms, I don't want to say no in the classrooms.
No, that's fine. But change to the policy, I mean. So with the policy, we have a policy. Are you saying that we want to change the policy so it's no hallways, no study halls, no lunch? No usage at all in the high school, same as middle school, or not?
I think the high school should have more leeway than the middle school, but I am concerned. I'm concerned about the texting while walking through the halls. I'm concerned about pictures going around.
So what change, I mean, if we're going to take an action, what specific change do you want to advocate?
I would rather that, I'm with Daryl.
No usage at all?
Yeah.
I mean, the Board of Education, remember, we will enforce... Right now, we enforce the procedures and policies of which we have now. If the Board of Education wants to make a change, they make a change, and then we'll enforce that.
So you're on board with no usage, basically mirroring middle school, high school.
I will say, I said that, you know, prior to listening to some of the counter arguments to it. I mean, the case that Russ presented, I mean, there's definitely a counter argument that it's, you know, a positive in the classroom. In some instances where it's actually being used in the classroom. I don't know, maybe a compromise is, you know, yeah, on your lunch period in the cafeteria. I don't see the need to have to walk through the hall. If I get hit enough in the city by people, maybe they make an umbrella now that your hand can fit through while you're texting. I don't see the need to be walking around into people with the phones in the hallways. Cafeteria, downtime, a study hall, something like that, maybe. It just seems like the more fragmented use there is throughout the day, it spills over into the classroom. You know, the text messages coming in when you're in the middle of a class, you know, from the one you just sent in the hallway 10 minutes before that. I don't know. There's probably some middle ground. I mean, my first knee-jerk reaction is hardcore nothing.
That's my knee-jerk as well, at first.
Say no, and then, like, for stipulations for that class say that we went to, that they use those.
For educational purposes.
Right,
do we want to hear from Ed?
Yeah.
Do we want to maybe hear from Ed at the next
meeting? He's gone through the site-based process and hearing from all the constituent groups when they first, I think, drafted this and visited this issue when they first got here.
And I don't know if the next meeting is the right time. Maybe it's a busy first or second day of school, but within the next two meetings, we want to maybe hear what he has to say. He's lived it at the high school. I mean, middle school, there's no change, right? Middle school, they can't use it anyway. So it's really high school changing whether it's being used in the hallway, study hall, or lunch or not, and see what the upside of that is.
Yes. Why don't you find another district that has instituted?
There's policy, and I looked. There's policies both ways. I mean, I looked at, you know, different districts say no. Some districts have policies very similar to ours. Some say, you know, using it inappropriately is disorderly conduct, and, you know, who do they decide what's inappropriate? I think Connecticut actually says that. I'm not sure. I pulled it up. Connecticut had board docs, which I don't know if you ever looked at board docs, but you can see all of their policies online. It's a great program that we should look at.
I'm sure this has become more prevalent in the last 4 years, but what did they do previously in combat? I mean, I'm sure it was just starting.
Just like it is here. Students are given the respect to be able to use their phones and have now there for probably a decade. So, I mean, I've lived it as a high school principal. The major part of this is making sure the faculty, the administration is all together, and the student leadership, because I work very closely with the student leaders, on making sure that they help us respect the faculty. And I've got great results from doing it that way. There was a reciprocal. It was back and forth, and the kids were great. What I will tell you in the hallways, what I did to the with the pass board about 3 years ago, after it was implemented, we had a discussion similar to what we're having here tonight, and this has gone on, and it's like 10th period, you know. And then when I asked the board, because I thought that they would find it very interesting to come in the hallways, and they did. And I'm going to ask this board the same thing, because I think you need to live it. And what I will tell you, I think that board was shocked last time, was the limited amount of use in the hallways of cell phones. And Ms. Goli is in the, you would think when we did it, and I told them this was going to occur the first week, everybody thought it was so exciting. I could be in the hallway and I could text. And then within a couple of weeks, and then the board saw that in the hallways, it wasn't that big a deal to the kids. I'm going to say one in every 10 kids walking by was doing something with a phone. It's not like they all have it out. You would think so. But they didn't. Some students don't have lunch. I say what you were saying about just being able to use lunch. There are study halls. You know, again, I think that it is a computer. If I want to read the New York Times and I'm a 17-year-old student, I they have it there. It's a computer to them. It's a little different than just a phone. They use it for a lot more things. It's a calculator. It does a lot of things. So that's why I look at study halls and cafeterias. I'm on my free time those 45 minutes. I personally cannot see somebody saying to my child, you can't use it then, unless they're irresponsible and they're gambling on it or doing something like that we find out. The hallways and injuries, I've never, since I've been here, heard, had a lawsuit from the school district or anybody, that I know ran into each other and broke my nose or had an issue.
So we'll have Ed come in and give us his thoughts, and one of the next 2 weeks we'll continue the discussion.
Wait, hold on 1 second. I'm thinking about the middle school, the idea that you guys are sitting teaching, because that's what I taught, and the phones are vibrating, and that kind of, where I was teaching, the locker, we had to be in the lockers, and that was absolutely enforced up and down. I think that for me, to be teaching, every now and then the phone would go off, and everybody would look and be like, who had their phone? But I think that's something that I would like to see enforced, is that, you can't pocket everything, check everybody's pockets and things like that, but to have them so that they're in their lockers. And then, I always knew that I could go to the office if I needed to use the phone. I don't know if that's a policy that we do, but I think that would be a good direction too. Instead, if you need to call your parent, right, the phone is always open in the office rather than you having your phone. I just think middle school is just a different...
I'm just curious, in the middle school, if you don't mind me asking, you guys happen to be here on the spot, Mr. Clancy's learning, how many referrals did you write up last year in regards to cell phones in your classroom?
In my classroom, probably about five.
Okay.
In the cafeteria, a heck of a lot more.
So you wrote five times throughout the entire year. Mr. Turnham, in your classroom?
Probably, I write a lot more. I know I got to the point in the cafeteria where I admit I gave up.
I'm just wondering in your classroom. I can get the results.
Probably about a dozen. But again, that doesn't include all the ones that I call myself. Like, usually the ones I'll call mom and dad first. I'll send them an email. I had to take your son or daughter's phone because they kept using it, and you go through that avenue. But I know when it came to things like the cafeteria, I eventually gave up. Like, I did 7th and 8th grade duty, and they were all, just got to a point, it's like one, and then they're all using them. So, the cafeteria was a different story.
And what do you think about it, Ms. Reavers? Because I think it's very interesting. If we mandated students when they come into school to take their cell phones and put them in their lockers, what do you think about that?
And that's what we've always encouraged, basically, from 8 to
30. But it's not a policy. Encourage is great, but right now that's not a policy, and I appreciate it, but I'm a kid. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. But I don't have to actually do it. Do you think it would be better to mandate that that students cannot have it on them. They pile it down, of course, but they must keep all phones inside of a locker?
That would be all for it.
Any policy we have to be comfortable that we're going to consistently enforce. So if it's in the locker and we're not going to enforce it in certain classes, I think it's a big problem. Same thing in the hallway. If we're going to prohibit hallway usage and we're not going to be out writing referrals every single time,
yep.
Why bother? It's a huge problem.
With any discipline, with
right.
any kind of
That's
thing,
my
no matter what.
If we're going to do
it,
using
foul language, whether it's a child coming in with the entire midriff showing, every teacher should do it. You know, if I have a kid that's in fourth period and the child is wearing a shirt with vulgar language on it, I don't understand how they got past period 1, 2, and 3 to get to me. You know, of course, I'm not going to allow it, but I just... So you're absolutely right. Everybody has to force. I will say, and I've been to the middle school numerous times, I've been very impressed what I see as far as cell phones from what I've seen in my own eyes. I don't think they're pretty serious about it.
And I'm also all for setting the example, which is staff, which for the most part is excellent, but that also has to be the example.
Absolutely.
You can't be there as a teacher. I can't be sitting there picking up my phone and answering texts during class.
Absolutely.
You know, that's something that I would expect to be, of course, as well, just as a professional response.
Any other questions?
What about assistive technology? Mm-hmm. Children that have assistive technology, they might be in school and need a phone.
What about IEP based?
But we know that already. Right. We know, yeah. We already have that in there, the schedule. We know there's a lot. Like, we have certain students with laptops, the phone,
sure.
or maybe.
Yep.
That's all understood. No students know that. So they come in, they know that they're allowed to use that laptop when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate, and that's all part of their IEP.
All right, so Ed will come in and talk a bit about what his thoughts are and what he knows. We'll continue the discussion, figure out if we're going to make a policy change or not, based on what we know. I think the last you want to talk about the wellness.
That was me?
Yeah.
That was me.
You have wellness, dress code, and cell phone.
I don't think I
did.
No?
Okay.
Dressing wellness.
All right.
Cookies.
I like cookies.
Too many cookies. Oh, no, I was. I had a lot of people call me about the ICs that are given. The ICs that are given over at the elementary after the test. A lot of parents called and complained because, you know, we had this wellness policy set up. I can't send in cupcakes, but then my kid's getting ICs, and I don't know if they're ICs, Mr.
Ice Cream, Mr. Softy.
Whoever it is. I don't have a kid over there in elementary. But I got a lot of phone calls from parents saying, what are we doing about that? Why is it not told to the parents before? That kind of stuff. So that's what it was. That's what I wanted
to
address.
The first thing is... at least from my opinion, because I do look at this all the time too. Being not that I'm in shape, but I'd like to be.
I saw you running.
Yeah, pizza. You did.
They're
good. They're good. But you know, as long as what they're doing falls within the policy itself, like that particular situation with Mr. Softy, it does fall within the guidelines.
I think what the parents were most concerned about is there was no communication that was going to happen. It may have been something the children were expecting, but it wasn't responsive to the parents. The parents didn't know that this was going to happen. So a lot of parents said, you know, I want to bring in cupcakes for my kid and I can't, but yet my kid can do a test and they can get a test.
So just so I'm clear,
what are they told that they can't bring in a cupcake for a birthday because we do honor birthday celebrations or class celebrations?
I unless I went back and asked them because my daughter's not in there.
But what, I didn't read the wellness policy before the meeting. I should have, but. The violation is... I'm not clear on what the violation is.
I'm not saying there's a violation.
A parent concerned
came to you. You know,
more than one.
They're allowed to bring cupcakes, like my kid for the birthday, but there are certain guidelines. The wellness committee has worked very hard to try to streamline as much of it as they can because there was a concern from the committee, I'm going to say 2 years ago, that there was an abundance, like every day. I remember that Seinfeld episode when there was a cake for every day.
Well, maybe this will be something I can
set up with
their wellness.
So I think they try to streamline it, and I think they have, because I've read some of your writings about this, and we have streamlined it. But I hear what somebody might look at it and say, well, you know, how much should be...
So the concern was the gift of ice cream after
without the communication.
Without telling the parents.
It wasn't really the... timing of it. It was more no communication, and they were concerned about the wellness policy. I can't tell you what concerns they have, except for that was what was relayed.
Yeah.
I obviously forgot why I was even bringing up the wellness policy, but that one just hit me. That's what it was.
Right. So that brings us to the next section tonight. We were going to skip it, but I think a few other people came in. Any questions or comments from the community on items not on this agenda? Yes.
I could, just quickly. I had heard, I guess there is a student in sixth grade who, because of a health issue, and I believe there's a few others as well, is going to require air conditioning in the middle school this year, in sixth grade. So I just want to bring up, I know there's some different avenues that have been approached or being looked at. Obviously, we can't air condition the whole middle school. It's just crazy in terms of money. Plan A was to be looking at some Mitsubishi wall units, and I had heard it was being around $25,000 to $30,000 to do the sixth grade classrooms, to do them right, hook it up, make sure it's efficient, it runs, it has the proper BTUs. But then I heard there was another plan, which was to do it much cheaper, which was just throw some wall units in, and then the plan was this particular student then move them from year to year. But those units were like 12 to 15,000 BTU units, where these classrooms require like 25,000 BTUs. So I guess my only input is, I guess especially as, you know, as a taxpayer and looking for, you know, the longevity, my approach is always to try to do it right. Like, if we're going to do it and spend the money, I'd rather do it right, do it professional. Then, first of all, there's sliding windows. There aren't windows that go up and down, so that's going to be a problem. You're going to have a piece of wood with a unit that's going to be 12 or 15,000 BTUs that's going to burn out in a year or two. And up front, it's going to save us a little bit of money, but then in the long run, then you have the man hours of moving the units going from grade level to grade level. They're going to burn out. They're not going to last, where if we kind of do it right the first time, they're going to be there. And then wherever, you know, I'm sure there's other students that down the line are going to have the same issues. But just something to take into account. I guess I'm just always, I'd rather lean towards, I understand expenses and the budget, but just do it right. That's all. And that way it's done. Instead of doing it and then we have to do it next year, then we've got our maintenance guys all over the place again scrambling, ripping them out of the wall units. In this case, now going here. And this one broke, we have to replace it again. It's just kind of do it and do it the right way. That's just something to please take into consideration.
The board, we do have students, and we've had it since I've been here, with students that require, through their IEPs, air conditioning in the classroom. So we, just like Mr. Turnow said, if that does come, sometimes they come all of a sudden in August, somebody will come in and move into the district and require something that we have to handle immediately. Good news, I would say, to the board is we do have now, through our surplus, we did put more money aside than ever before for emergency situations. Like if, like Mr. Turnow said, if we could spend money one time and you know, get something that's good bang for our buck for the next 10 years, that would be great, and we certainly will do it. Right now, what I can say is we're planning for September to make sure all the children get exactly what they
need. So do we have quotes on the various options?
We get, yes, it's exactly what we do. And then we make a decision.
Right? This need follows those students, right?
Correct.
They have a grade. So
we knew about it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We knew about it during the summer. If a child comes in and needs it in those four or five classrooms, then we make sure that they have
it. No, but I mean even in terms of through the years and the grade levels.
Oh, yeah.
So sixth grade, seventh grade, and so on. You're talking about expanding this out further and further.
No, it's wherever that particular student goes.
If you have mobile units.
Yeah,
if
right.
you make,
right.
if you install.
Yeah, if it's like a VRB system, like a Mitsubishi, I mean, that's permanently installed.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
So Mr. Crowell's been emailing Mr. Soto and I, both, he and that can be done, both options.
Yeah.
They can move through.
So can you get us a little bit of data on what we're looking at? I don't know that I've seen it yet.
Well, we already do it.
Yeah.
This is
right.
Nothing that's out of the budget right now.
Okay.
This is something that we do and we have budgeted for throughout a normal budget. So nothing has happened yet that we have to come back to you and say we need to do you know, X amount of transfers of money.
So what are we
right
doing?
Are we same thing we always do. If a student needs an air conditioner in their particular classroom, we make sure they have it.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Turnell saying he's saying
yeah,
look
yeah,
at
yeah,
it closely. Sure. He's saying look at it closely because he's maybe even seen that's more of this come up, you know, with students' IEPs.
I didn't know my own son, to be honest with you. My doctor had asked because I can write him a script and he'll have air. My son has severe allergies where, like, my house, I can't open the windows. My windows are sealed 365 days a year because he blows up. He looks like Rocky. So I just medicate the heck out of him. And I was surprised. He goes, we can, you know, we do stuff now where I can write him where he'll be in a room that's air-conditioned so you don't have to worry about the allergies. And I was like, Like, I couldn't even go there. I'll just medicate him. We'll just, he'll be a zombie. He'll go to school. Right? I wonder when parents do, like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. And all of a sudden, you have parents go, well, I didn't know that was an option. I can do that. I can almost kind of see, like, a domino effect with it.
Yep.
You know, but I guess I just always look at the, you know, you not, again, the cheap way.
My doctor actually just wrote a script for me.
Every kid is going to tell him to turn us.
I just worry about him burning out, breaking, and all of a sudden, again, we're always putting, you know, bandages and gunshot wounds.
Absolutely.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Yes. We do see that in our school, where I work, and it has really gotten a little out of hand.
You mean the Me Too syndrome? Mm-hmm.
The Me Too syndrome among children and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, the aide in my classroom was like, why don't you get a doctor's note so we can have an air conditioner? I'm like, because, yeah, I sweat profusely. I'm like, but that doesn't mean that he's having air conditioner. And it definitely snowballs.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions, comments, items not on the agenda? Okay, dates, remember, the next board meeting is September 3rd at 7:30 in the admin building. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing collective bargaining negotiations with CMTA, CMA, CMOSA, CMPA,
and all the other acronyms under that.
Discussion regarding proposed current pending future litigation and other matters which would result in unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you.